Spirit, we thank you that you're the teacher, guide, and help us, give us revelation. You know what everyone here needs. And we open our heart to you, Lord. We open our soul and our mind to you, Father, to receive from you today, Lord. Help us today to read, not to read into your word and make it say what we want it to say, but help us, Holy Spirit, with your help to guide us, that the words just come alive to us, that the words come out to us. We don't go into it and make it say what we want it to say, but that your word comes out and speaks to us today, because your word is spirit and life. And we believe that when you do this, you'll give us not only the revelation, but you'll give us the power to obey what we heard, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, your blessing is going to come from Romans chapter 1, verse 11. I shared this with you last week. And this is really beautiful. If you remember, I kind of made a statement that I believe that could be funny to some people, with that I have been reading this from the Passion Translation. It won't be as good as what you got, because it's the Passion, and it really says it really good. And that was supposed to be a joke, and nobody laughed. Amen. Well, it's not really a joke, but it's supposed to make you chuckle. It is true. It is a good translation when you hear how they interpret this passage. It's really beautiful. This is Paul, of course, writing this. He's writing to the church in Rome. Let's start at verse 11. Okay. He says, I yearn to come and be face to face with you and get to know you. Now, that's what fellowship is with believers. Okay. Paul says, I'm yearning for this. I can't wait to see you. Is that how we feel about coming to the house of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. Amen. It's my favorite day of the week. Some people look forward to Friday when it's time to clock out and go home. I love Sundays. Mm-hmm. Coming together. Yes. Coming together with God's people. And Paul says, I yearn to come and be face to face with you and get to know you. It's one thing to talk on the phone, but it's one thing to be face to face. You can see all the expressions on a person's face. You can read so much body language that says more than just words. You know, what we say, more percent of what we say is interpreted by our gestures and our body language than what comes out of our mouth. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah. Our body language, when we say it. We can say one thing, but our body shows something else. And people interpret our expressions more than they do what comes out of our mouth. Both are important. He says, for I long to impart to you some spiritual gift. That's the gift of Holy Spirit. The gift, not gifts. They're not gifts. We learned this years ago. Remember that, Carolyn, in Bible school? It's not the gifts of Holy Spirit. It's the gift. The gift. Because he is the gift from God. And when you get the gift, you get the word of knowledge. You get the word of wisdom. You get the gift of, you get healing. You get miracles. You get tongues. You get interpretation of tongues. When you get discernment of spirits. When you get Holy Spirit, the gift, you get the whole package.
Amen.
Amen. It's not gifts. It's gift. The gift, okay.
You have everything in.
That's correct. It's in you. It's all in there. I yearn to come and be face to face with you and get to know you, for I long to impart to you some spiritual gift that will empower you to stand strong in your faith. So why do we get this impartation? To become strong in our faith. Now, this means, and this is what our expectancy should be every time we come together, not just on Sundays, but every time we're with a believer, saints. It's not just here in this house, but every time we come together with another believer. Paul's talking to believers. He's speaking to believers. Now, this means that when we come together, we are side by side. Something wonderful will be released. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's what impartation is. When you come along beside someone, when you come to church and you stand by side with your brethren, or outside of church, it's just not within these walls. Oh, God is just teaching me so much that He's just teaching me so much that I want to, not that by any means do I confess to have the revelation that Paul had, but I can have it if I search it out, right?
Yeah.
If I devote my time to it. Is it the same Holy Spirit? Is it the same God?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I can't have it if I want it, if I seek it. But the Lord is just revealing so much to me from His Word. that will help us to stand, because if there's ever a time in our life that we need to draw closer and closer and tight with God and with believers. We need to be tight and tight and tight with God. We need to be determined that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to be in His Word and be determined that I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be obedient to God. Amen? Okay. So he says, I long to impart to you some spiritual gift that will empower you to stand strong in your faith. That's what happens when we come together. God imparts something, y'all. Now, this means that when we come together and are side by side, now we can, there are some places that come together and they're not side by side. I feel like we're side by side in here.
Yes.
I feel like we are. I feel like we're in harmony.
Yes.
That we're side by side, okay? But when you come together and you're side by side, something wonderful will be released. God will release something. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Haven't we enjoyed that even within this fellowship? We've seen the revelation that God has given us. And it's in there. I say, Lord, it's in there. It's going to come out again. It's going to get better and better. It's going to marinate. It's going to get better and better in us. We can expect to be encouraged and comforted by each other's faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let me go back and release this blessing and let's go forward. But before I do that, let me give you the definition of the word impart. I-M-P-A-R-T. Paul said, I long that I might come, that I might impart something to you, that something might be released to you. The revelation he had gained from God. Okay, so impart means, it comes from the Greek word, it's number 3330. And as we might expect, it says to give over to you, to give it over, hand it over. I'm handing over this that I've received from God. I'm handing it over to you. It means to share. But this is something else that it means. It's really beautiful. It comes from another word, 1325. This really blessed me. Figuratively as a matter of speech, figuratively it means to greatly modify by the connection. To be greatly modified by the connection. Okay, look, listen. Impart. Something happens when you impart the revelation. Okay, there's something going on between you and I. And something gets greatly modified. Or if you modify something, what do? You change it. Something becomes greatly modified by our connection. That's what impartation means. No wonder Paul said, I long to come and see you face to face. To connect with you so I might impart something. So that something can be greatly changed for the better between you and I.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
But the change, it's like a car engine.
Okay.
I think about racing. The change is not... You don't get changes, the same engine. Mm-hmm. You just kicked it up a notch.
What about that?
Okay, I wanted to.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to make sure, because that's what. So you're still the same.
What's already in you?
Yeah, you're still the same, yeah. but you're better.
Yes.
You're more increased.
That's right.
You're
going through the fermentation process.
Yeah,
you're a new wineskin.
Yeah, the best I can just say is that you just kicked it up a notch.
That's right. You revved up the engine.
Yeah,
you didn't
change the initial engine. The initial engine is still there.
Yes.
You just keep making that same thing.
Tweaking it.
Better, yes. Mm-hmm. Better and better and better.
That's right. You modify it, yes. It gets modified.
I go over and read it all the time. That's why David said in the Bible, he said, common sense and discernment is fruits of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And see, a lot of people don't even use common sense, common sense and discernment and everything. And then they wonder why they don't get the wisdom and the answers they need, because David said you got to have those two, because those are fruits of spirit.
Comes out of wisdom.
You can't think you know everything.
No, there's not anyone that knows everything. No, you have to be teachable.
That's when you think you're so wise and all that, that's when God says you become a fool.
Mm-hmm. So this reminds me of the wineskin, just like Carmen was sharing. Okay, the wineskin, Jesus said you can't put new wine into an old wineskin. Because the wineskin will do what?
It'll burst
and ruin the new wine.
Yes.
A new wine, the new wineskin is a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We
yes.
are.
Yes.
And the new wine is the life of Christ that's put in us.
Yes.
So another way you could look at this is it's a fermentation process.
Yes.
Fermentation goes through a process. So when it's modified, that fermentation is getting better and better inside that wineskin.
Yes.
Because we've been talking about the wineskin and about the new wine. Because, you know, this old man... The old man, who's the old wineskin, can't handle the life of Christ.
No.
Because like Robert just said, it's foolishness.
Yes.
Yes.
The wisdom of God is foolishness.
Yes.
To the old man.
Yes.
But to the new man, it is life.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and release this blessing, and then I'm going to get right into the work because I'm excited about this today. And there's a lot of correction in this for me. For me. So, you know, it's like, you know, we don't look here and say, oh, I wish Sister Bucket Mouth was here today so she could hear this. I am Sister Bucket Mouth, okay? All of us are the ones that God's speaking to today.
Yes.
All of us. And it starts with me first. You understand that?
Yeah.
It starts with me first. Because Paul said, if I fail to practice what I teach, then God will stamp me as a counterfeit.
Right.
And we don't want that.
That's why the word is a two-edged sword. Because you cut this way.
It gets you going out.
This way.
Glory to God. Okay, so I'm going to release this blessing. And I'm excited about something that Karma connected me with again, that a prophetic word that's been released. And I'm not going to get into all that today, but I'm going to make a better effort this week to study that out, because something beautiful has shifted or changed in South Carolina.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Something beautiful has shifted or changed in South Carolina. And God is going to use South Carolina as a portal to bless the nations. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not saying anything else about it. But this goes right along with the blessing. This is why I'm going to confess it this way over us and over the body of Christ. Father, for the body of Christ, we long, Father God, to impart some spiritual gift to one another, that we might empower one another to stand strong in our faith. Now, this means that when we come together, Father, we declare that we in South Carolina, Father, and the body of Christ around the world, not just in South Carolina, Father, but starting here with us, Lord, in this city, in this state, and throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, Father God, that when we come together and are side by side, something wonderful will be released. Something wonderful from you, God, will be imparted and released in the atmosphere. And we expect God to be encouraged and comforted by each other's faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please meditate that on that this week. And please speak that into the atmosphere. That the believers in this city, in this state, and in the United States of America are coming together and standing side by side. And we expect that when we do that, there's something wonderful is going to be imparted and released in my community, in this fellowship, in this state, in the United States, and in the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, having heard this minister Friday night, he made this statement that I just want to springboard off of, because it actually is connected to what I was studying this week and the Lord had put in my heart to minister. Okay, he said, worship is an expression of the joy of God using us. Worship is an expression of the joy of the Lord using us. Worship is not the music.
No.
Worship is not the singing. It's not the shouting, the dancing, the hallelujah. Worship is an expression of the joy. Oh, God, you used me.
Yes.
And he gave this illustration that is beautiful that I wrote down in my notes because I didn't ever want to forget it. But I'm going to share it with you. His name is Jim Riley. He goes to Oasis Church over off Sunset Boulevard. It's where we connected with him. Lucy had shared with Karma and I about him. We've gone several times. This was the second time that Karma and I went. But he'll be there this coming Friday night also. But anyway, he said this. He shared this with us about worship, about an expression of how God uses you. He said he is friends with a gentleman who started a homeless ministry downtown. And this ministry has just grown to be huge. I don't know who this person is. He didn't give us his person's name.
No.
That's irrelevant.
Yes.
Okay. This man started this ministry to the homeless with fried chicken, a chair, and socks. Fried chicken, a chair, and socks. What he would do, he would take the chair, he would go downtown to where homeless people were, he would pull up the chair, and we'd say, please have a seat. They would sit in the chair, he would serve them chicken, and he would wash
their feet.
Nobody look at my toe. Yes,
he would take off their socks.
He would take off their shoes and their socks and wash their feet and put clean socks on their feet.
Mm.
Three things: a chair, chicken, and socks.
Clean socks.
When we choose to step out and change somebody else's life, then God changes ours.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's what
Hallelujah.
He says. When you choose to make a difference in somebody else's life and impart to them, then God imparts to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the people were just, why are you doing this? The man sitting in the, why? He said, because you're worth it.
Yes.
Because you're valuable to God and you're worth
yeah.
it. So, he goes on to say that the man that was heading up, that started this ministry, Jim Riley, goes on to say that his friend, that the Lord, you know, used him, gave him this revelation of what to do, and the Lord used him, that the Lord called on Jim to preach to this group of people. A group of people started collecting.
It was growing,
to preach to them. And he said, the Lord told me he wanted to preach on the kingdom. See, we have this mindset, I can't teach to the poor about giving because they're poor, they don't have anything. See, we've limited God with that mindset. That's religious thinking.
Yes.
That's religious thinking. So the Lord said, I want you to teach them on the kingdom. I want you to teach them to give.
Yes.
Give? Lord, they're homeless. I want you to teach them on the kingdom and the principle of the kingdom of giving.
Yes.
So he taught them on the kingdom of giving. He said, there's a group, and I'm going to have all the details right. Carmen might be able to help me, but He said, we have knowledge of this country that we're helping, the third world country. I want to say it's Libya, but I'm not sure.
Liberia.
That sounds good.
Liberia.
Okay. With these children that depend on a bag of grain to be able to eat. He said, look, you've got it better than them.
Mm-hmm.
You're homeless. Mm-hmm. But if someone does, I mean, you know, look, I mean, you know, I'm feeding you fried chicken. You're coming here every day. You're hearing the word. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are homeless people. I mean, look, when we go to Christ Central, they're blessed. They get a meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's provisions for them in this city. I'm not saying that a lot of them are better off than we are. I know they still have needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said, look, there's no matter where you are in life, there's always somebody that's worse off than you that you can give to help. Okay? No matter where you are in life. So he said, these children depend on a bag of grain to feed them, of rice to feed them for I don't know how long.
It was a short time.
Yeah. So he said, so we're going to give. We're going to give to these children. And he says, I don't care what you give. He even said, I don't care if you give a stick. You give something. We're going to pass it around. You give something. So some of them put in socks. I don't know what else they put in. But
hats.
When it was, hats, that's right. But when it was said and done, he collected $60 that day from those homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
$60. Did it again the next Sunday. Sent the money off to that country. Came back with a report of how many children they had fed. And they go, wow, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
That is worship.
Mm, that is worship. Yes.
Worship is when God used, did God use them?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Worship is when God uses you and there's an expression of joy that comes out of you. I thought of Anna because weeks ago, probably a month or so ago, Anna called me because she, if I've got the story right, she was coming out of the parking lot of Publix and going on to Sparkleberry Extension, and if it wasn't for her seeing a car and avoiding them, there would have been an accident that would involve several people, and that man would have been guilty, if I've got the story straight. So immediately she got, so I just had to call you and tell you, see, that's worship.
Yes.
That's an expression of what, God just used me to do something.
Yes.
God just used me to save a life, to prevent an accident.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
There was another incident she gave me where she had been going to the gym, and she saw this couple that would come in together. I just thought of her this morning as I was meditating on this. She saw this couple always come in together. And one day she was at the gym. She noticed it was just the man. And she wondered, you know. And he approached her and asked her to pray for their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she was so, when she called me on the phone, she said, Miss Kathy, you just won't believe what, I just had to call you. And you won't believe just what happened to me. See, that's worship. Mm-hmm. God used her. Mm-hmm. That's an expression of joy. That's what worship is. Yes. Y'all, we have opportunities every day all the way around us to worship God. It's not just till we get in here on Sunday morning.
That's right.
Amen. So, having said this, let's move forward. Okay? We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Okay? Jesus always modeled what he taught. That was another thing we learned from this preacher. Jesus always modeled what he taught. Okay? Always. We should model what we've been taught. We just don't come here or come to wherever you get revelation from in God's word. You're meant to model it. Okay? So, I was in my personal devotion, and I really personally am in the book of Romans, but the Lord led me back to Philippians 4. And this is really very rich. And today, I feel like what the Lord's been dealing with me, I won't say really dealing with me, but really been ministering to me about mercy, about the importance of mercy, and how important it is to be for us to be merciful toward one another as believers. Okay? And the Lord really shook me up on some things. He really shook me up on some things. And if you don't agree with me, that's okay. I mean, it's in the Word. It's in the Word. But the Lord really showed me some things and has some things to do with some things that I personally have experienced even right within this church, this fellowship since I've been here, and just with life in general. But in Philippians 4, we're going to start then. We're going to read through this. And this is about relationships. Didn't I tell you earlier that's what in part means? Mm-hmm. It means that there's a connection. That something's modified. Something's changed greatly by the connection we have with one another.
Yes.
And you know, I want to say this right now. I want to say this up front right now. That if you are the new creation in Christ Jesus, you've been born again, and you're the new wineskin, it's not always an easy process for that wine to ferment inside of you.
Amen.
And that's an understatement.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't even say it's not always easy. Let's just say, you know, let's just liken it to a pearl that's made by an oyster. An oyster has to go through great pain. It's actually a piece of sand that gets into that oyster, and it secretes an enzyme to try to get rid of that pain, that sand. And with the more it secretes that enzyme to get rid of that little piece of sand, it forms a pearl.
Yes.
It forms something very valuable.
Yes.
So if you're the new wineskin and the new wine is in you, which is a life of Christ, you're going through a fermentation process, and life is a learning lesson. Everything in life, everything in life is meant to get you better.
Yes.
It's meant for the wine to ferment in you to get better and better and better and better.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't just age, but age gracefully.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Age to perfection.
That's right. Age gracefully. Don't be a sour puss. Don't be a grouch. If you're going to age beautiful, ask for God's grace.
Amen.
To come, God, let your grace come upon my life.
Yes.
That every day as I get older and older in the natural man, God, I become more and more alive in your love and your goodness and your mercy. But every opportunity in life where there is an agitant or friction, God's saying, I want this wine to ferment in you. And you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can let it ferment in you, or you can give way to the agitation and become worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's read this together. Living in harmony with one another. And I looked up the name of these two women. Hopefully I'm going to try my very best to pronounce their name correctly. My dear and precious friends, this is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, whom I deeply love. It's almost like Paul setting you up for something. You have truly become my glorious joy and crown of reward. Y'all, can you feel that? I believe Paul really means that you have become just a crown of joy to me. Now arise. Now here's the exhortation. Now arise. It's that same word, anastami, y'all. Mm. Now let there be a resurrection in you. Now Paul's like, I'm cutting through the chase now. Mm. I am proud of you, are my joy, but I got something else to tell you. Now arise in the fullness of your union with the Lord. You are my joy, but now there needs to be a rising up in us of our union with Christ. You know what I'm trying to say is that if I'm unified with Christ, there needs to be a rising up of Christ inside of me. Yeah. Every day, I shouldn't be the same person in the Lord that I was last year. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be the same person in the Lord today that I was yesterday. Every day there needs to be an anastami. There needs to be a rising up of who Christ is in me.
Amen.
He's alive.
Yes.
He's alive in me.
Yes, in you.
And if he's alive in me, he's supposed to be speaking and working in me.
Amen.
It's not supposed to be me speaking and working in me, right?
Right?
Amen. Okay. So there he says, now arise in the fullness of your union with the Lord. And I plead with Euodias. Euodias is how you pronounce that. I looked that up in the Strong's Concordance. And I plead. He plead. Now, there's been a conflict, y'all. There's been a conflict. I plead with Euodias. My passion says Euodia. Your translation might say Euodias. Mm-hmm. And Syntyche. I plead with you, Euodias, and Syntyche to settle their disagreement and be restored with one mind in our Lord. I tell you, the Lord is, you know, if you're going through life, there's going to be times, I've had them where I have, you know, it was just nothing but the devil that I was accused of things that I was not guilty of.
Mm.
And it's not about whether I was accused. It's about how I handled the accusation.
Yes.
And when I handled it right and I chose to walk in love and walk in mercy, God handled it. And the very person that accused me stood before me and said, I was wrong. Will you forgive me?
Right.
But it only happens when we choose to walk in mercy and love. Now, these two women had a disagreement. I would like my dear friend and burden bearer to help resolve this issue. Now, the Passion Translation calls this person, I couldn't find this person's name in the Greek Concordance, but they say it possibly could be a person he's speaking of, but however, there's no record of anyone in classical or biblical Greek with his name. But his name is spelled S-Y-Z-G-O-S. I couldn't find his name in the Strong's Concordance. One more time, I'll spell it for you. S-Y-Z-Y-G-O-S. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. S-Y-Z-Y-G-O-S. Okay? But his name's interpreted to mean burden bearer. He was bearing this burden in him for this situation between these two women. To help resolve this issue, for both women have diligently labored with me for the prize in helping to spread the revelation of the gospel. These were godly women that had labored with Paul to spread the gospel. They weren't evil, wicked people. He says they have labored with me along with Clement. Now this is the heart of what I'm saying. You know what Clement's name means? It means mercy.
Mm.
It means gentle or mild or mercy. So let me read this for a passage again with you. And I plead with Euodias and Syntyche to settle their disagreement and be restored with one mind in our Lord. Key. One mind in our Lord. One mind in our Lord. One mind in our Lord. I would like my dear friend and burden bearer to help resolve this issue, for both women have diligently labored with me for the prize and helped in spreading the revelation of the gospel along with mercy. They've labored beside me with mercy. Clement's name means mercy. They've labored along beside me with mercy. They know what mercy looks like. They've been shown mercy. And the rest of my co-workers. So they're workers with Paul. All of their names are written in the book of life. They're believers.
Yes.
There's two believers that are having a conflict. Mm-hmm. Two believers that have labored with Paul, and their names are written in the book of life. Mm-hmm. And they've labored beside Paul with mercy. They know what mercy looks like. They know what mercy sounds like. They know what mercy acts like. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship. Amen. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship. I had a situation where someone of a different faith, a different culture, cult, what you want to call it, stood before me, made allegations and accusations, and I just listened. Mm-hmm. And pray. Seen in every relationship, gentleness, y'all. Let gentleness open not your mouth. Isn't that what Jesus did? He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, but he opened not his mouth. He did not defend himself. Why? Because he left it up to God to defend him.
Yes.
He left it up to God to defend him. Now, we're getting ready to touch on the difference between being right and righteous. So I'm going to go ahead and say it now, okay? Being right is humanity's idea of justifying themselves. I don't want to say just man, because the man and women both. Human beings want to be right. Believers always want should always want to be righteous. There's a difference between being right and righteous. There's a difference between being, okay. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for your Lord is ever near. God is ever near, saints.
Yes.
Let gentleness be seen in all your relationships. Don't get puffed up, full of pride. And these two, this was a conflict. Now, I'm going to say this. Like I said, I'm talking to myself. It's a two-edged sword. It goes in and comes back out. If there is a conflict between me and another believer, so I'm going to put myself in this position, okay? I'm going to make make this for one time about me, because it's not going to be me boasting. It's going to be me just opening myself up, okay? If I am in a conflict with a believer, I want you to hear me very clearly, okay? Nowhere, this is a revelation God gave me today. Paul did not take sides with either one of these women.
No.
Paul did not take sides. Paul was a man that longed for the revelation of God. He said, all this my past, all my pedigree is like manure on a pile, compared that I might know Christ. I believe Paul longed to know Christ. I believe that there was a burning desire in Paul's heart to know God and to know Christ. And I believe Paul walked up right before God. I believe I can trust Paul's judgment. I believe personally I can trust Paul's judgment. And I believe that Paul's judgment in this situation was actually how God looked at the situation too. Because of who was in him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make this bold statement with some things this church has been through. And some things in my personal life. Whenever there's a conflict between you and another believer, God will not choose sides.
Amen.
God will not choose sides. Hear me. God will not choose sides. You know why? We're going to go on. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Mercy comes from a root word that means womb. W-O-M-B. I'm going to get to that. I'm going to give you some scripture references on that, okay? But the mercy comes from another word. And this other word and mercy share the same root that means womb. You know why God does not take... I'm going to tell you, this is very serious. I saw this and what this church went through. Okay? I've seen it. I've seen it since I've been at this church, at this fellowship. Okay? When there's a conflict, and I'm not just talking within these walls, I'm talking about outside these walls. When there's a conflict between me and a believer, and I had it, I experienced it. I was accused of things that I... It was not my intent. I guess she's just having a bad day. I don't know, okay? But I noticed this. God's not going to choose sides in this.
You know why? God is not about you being right. God is about righteousness.
Yes.
And you know what else? If God were to choose sides, if Miss Vertel and I, God forbid, had a conflict, God is not going to choose sides. God's not going to choose my side over Vertel's side.
That's right.
I've got some sad news for you. God doesn't care hunkadory about it, whether you believe that or not. God cares about how you're going to respond in it. God is not going to say you're right and you're wrong. You know why? Because if God did that, and God will not. Jesus said, when they came to Jesus and they said, a man came to Jesus and Jesus settled this dispute between me and my brother.
Yes.
My brother. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, who made me Lord and arbitrator? You go and you settled it. Mm-hmm. You go and you settle. God is not going to choose sides. It's dangerous.
Yes.
It is, listen. Dangerous. It is dangerous to think you're right in a situation between you and a believer. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because you were born of the same womb.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on, you were born of the same womb.
Yes.
If God took sides with you over their side, then God would be divided, and that is not going to happen.
Right.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one.
Yes.
He is one God.
Yes.
God is not divided. So if there's a conflict between me and another believer, God is not going to choose sides.
No, he's not.
God is waiting on you.
Yes.
One of you to rise up and do the righteous thing.
Because
human flesh wants to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You know it? The flesh wants to be justified. And how on, because the flesh can't wait to run and tell somebody about what they did.
Well, yeah.
You know why? Because the flesh wants you to justify them.
Everybody, your flesh is everybody.
No.
Right.
Yeah. That you don't. No. God is not. God's not going to choose. God will not choose sides when believers have a friction or an argument between one another. Paul didn't choose sides. He said, you've walked alongside mercy. You've been in my men. You've been co-laborers with me. You've seen the mercy of God. God has shown you mercy.
Yeah.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And Jesus said, if you don't show mercy, neither will your Father in heaven show you mercy. So, you know what I'm saying about this? Is that Jesus always modeled what he taught. Paul modeled what he taught. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate the Lord. So he modeled what he taught. Amen. He modeled what he taught. The believer's aim is to be righteous, not to be right, but to be righteous. I always go back to this. And sometimes I think, no, Lord, I'm not going to share that. But I always come back to this. That, you know, one of the ways you can tell if you always want to be right, you've always got to have the last word.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to have the last word. But if you want to be righteous, you leave it up to God to vindicate you.
Mm-hmm.
You do what's right. You know, and oh, Jesus. God the Father did not send his Son to affirm mankind. You know what that means? That means God didn't send Jesus here to say man was right. Jesus never came to affirm man. There is a beautiful passage in John. If you want to go there and look at it with him. This was during the Passover. John chapter 2, and I'm going to read it. I love how it reads in the New King James. That was one of the passages I've committed to memory, but I'm going to read it for you out of the Passion 2. Then I'm going to give you the definition of mercy, and I'm going to give you the definition of blessed, to be blessed. But while you're turning to John chapter 2, verse 24, God didn't send his Son to validate us, to affirm us. He sent his Son to impart something to us, y'all.
Yes.
What did I tell you impart means?
Yes.
Impart means to modify greatly by connection.
Mm.
What did God impart to us through Christ Jesus? His righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
God imparted to us righteousness in Christ Jesus. Jesus never came to pat anybody on the back.
No. Nope.
Jesus will not take sides.
Amen.
He will not take sides between believers. He will not do it.
Amen.
He will not do it. The Father sent His Son to impart, to modify greatly by connection His Son's righteousness in us, to connect us. Jesus imparted, the righteousness of God has been imparted to us in Christ Jesus. It connected us back with God. God is not in the habit of declaring people to be right, but He does declare them to be righteous. God will not defend you if you try to defend yourself in a situation between a believer and you try to declare yourself to be right, but God will defend you and reward you if you decide to be righteous in that situation.
Yes.
What does that mean? What is righteousness? Righteousness is God's way of being right. Of speaking, doing, and being right. It's God's way. What did God, Jesus said, if they smite you on one cheek, what do you do?
Turn
the other cheek. What reward do you have do we have if we love those that are nice to us? Jesus said. But when you love those who treat you wrong, then you're becoming like my Father in heaven. The prophets say that this is a year of the Father, the year of the Heavenly Father, where the Heavenly Father, we're going to see the year, the move of the Father in our lives. Jesus said, when you do better to others than what they do to you, you're becoming like my Father.
Yes.
You're becoming like my Father. Who is your Father?
Mm-hmm.
When you speak good of those who spitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
Not because I've been a jerk. If they speak something about me and it's true because I've been a jerk, that's not persecution.
Mm-hmm.
That's not persecution. But if I've walked up right before God and people say all manner of evil against me falsely, blessed am I because they did the same thing to the prophets. Jesus had this. This is a fascinating passage. I love to say it from the King James. Jesus did not commit himself to man.
No.
Didn't mean he didn't come to die for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't commit himself to man because he knew what was in man.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. What does that mean? Jesus didn't side with any man on earth.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't. Jesus did not take sides with any man or woman on earth. You know why? Because he knew what was in them.
Yeah.
The same people that were there on the day of Palm Sunday, we call it, where they laid the palm branches down the street and welcomed him when he rode in with the donkey, were the same ones at the cross. Crucify him! Crucify him!
Yeah.
Release Barabbas! Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be upon us and our children!
Mm-hmm. You are so dumb.
Using their children as a scapegoat for their sins. At the Passover feast, many gave their allegiance to Jesus. This is what John chapter 2 says. John chapter 2, verse 23. At the Passover feast, oh, Jesus, I'm with you. Oh, I'm with you. I'm sold in all the way, Jesus. You know why? Because they saw the many miracles he did. I want to be on the side of miracles. I want to be on the side of the miraculous. So they gave his allegiance to them. And Jesus all the while on the inside knew what was in man.
Yes.
He knew what was in him. He probably looked at someone and said, yeah, you'll be thinking, you'll be the one at the cross that'll be saying, crucify me, crucify me. You'll be the one at the judgment seat when Pilate comes out and says, I see no fault in this man. Let me release, you have a custom for me to release to you one prisoner. Let me release Barabbas. Jesus, when he sees there, oh Jesus, we give our allegiance to you. No doubt Jesus probably could have looked at one of them and said, yeah, you'll be right there. When Pilate says he'll release Barabbas, but you'll be the one right there saying, no, crucify Christ. You know what? To be a part of a mob literally means you've lost your mind because you don't even know what you're there for. if you're part of a mob, the very definition of a mob is a group of people that have forgotten even why they're fighting or yelling. They just get caught up in the action. That was a mob there that day to crucify Jesus. Okay. At the Passover feast, many gave their allegiance to him because all of the miraculous signs they had seen him doing. Verse 24. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them. He didn't trust himself to them, to their allegiance. He didn't trust himself because he knew how fickle human hearts can be. Wasn't that the whole reason he came?
Yes.
Because of the fickleness of human hearts, a lack of devotion to God. That's what it comes down to the Garden of Eden. It's the same thing that we have because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, because cursed is a man who hangs on the tree, and Christ hung on the tree to redeem us from the curse of the law. But we still have to battle against the curse of the fall, which is the fallen nature of man. And the fallen nature of man is that I want to be right. I want someone to validate me in this situation. I want someone to say, you're right. I want to. No, that's not God's way. That's not the blessed way by God. The blessed way by God is that I don't have to even say that I'm right. I don't have to for you to even say that I'm right. I'm gonna do it God's way. I'm gonna walk in gentleness because the Word of God tells me that His coming is very soon, and I am gonna walk in gentleness with all men. I am not gonna repay evil for evil. I don't have to do to you, you know, like the saying says, do to them for they do back to you. No, I don't have to do to you before you do to me. It's a cycle, and somebody's got to stop the cycle. Somebody's got to stop the cycle, and that's what it's about in the fast. Doesn't it say that in Isaiah 58 that this is a fast that we have chosen? This is the fast that God is pleased with, that we loose the bonds of wickedness, that we undo the heavy burden and let the captives go free. Who are we holding captive? In our heart. In our heart, y'all. Jesus talked about anger. I'm preaching to myself. I don't want y'all to think. I am preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Because some things really, you know, I get really upset about some things. If I'm not careful, I could cross over into anger. Jesus said, you've heard it taught. He taught this in the book of Beatitudes. Was that in chapter 5 that we taught on Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount? And interesting enough, my earthly father said years ago, I'll give anybody $20 that can memorize the Sermon on the Mount. I'll give you $100. I'll give $100 to anyone in this room that memorizes the Sermon on the Mount. $100 cold cash. That's me saying that to you. I never have learned it. I was like, Dad, you ought to up that to more than $20. But you ought to up it. But yeah, but that, you know, memorize the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, that's a fascinating passage right there. But anyway, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, going on for that, Jesus said, you've heard it said that if you murder someone, that's a sin. You commit, you know, it's a sin to murder. I say to you that if you are angry in your heart with your brother or your sister, you have sinned against God. If you hold anger, okay, Selah, let's just turn over there and let's read it. Selah, let's go there and let's read it. Hallelujah. I'll get back to John in a minute. He's not going anywhere. Chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Hillside. Hallelujah. And that I will give $100 to, we'll start at verse 3, and he's teaching, and it will actually, we'll let it go through, let's see. Yeah, let's let it go through verse 16. How about that? Verse 16, you can do it. I don't care how long it takes you to do it, and I don't care what translation you learn it in. But look at this. Go over to verse 21, anger. He says, you're familiar with the commandment that the older generation has taught. Do not murder or you will be judged. But I'm telling you, if you hold anger in your heart toward a fellow believer, you are subject to judgment. This is the fast that we have chosen, y'all, to loose the bonds of wickedness in our thinking, God, y'all. You understand that? We didn't fast for just to do without food. God wants to change our hearts. You are subject to judgment. And whoever demeans and insults a fellow believer is answerable to the congregation. Mm-hmm. And whoever calls down curses upon a fellow believer is in danger of being sent to fiery hell. Don't go around. Why don't we just go and read the rest of it? So then if you're, I didn't even was I even going to go there. So then if you are presenting a gift before the altar in the temple and suddenly you remember a quarrel you have with a fellow believer, he's saying, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go at once and apologize with the one who is offended. Then after you have reconciled, go to the altar and present your gift. It is always better to come in terms with the one you want to sue, the one who wants to sue you before you go to trial, or you may be found guilty by the judge, and he will hand you over to the officers who will throw you into prison. Believe me, you won't get out of prison until you have paid the amount in full. Selah, God does not take sides between believers, because if God did, he would be divided and there is no schism. Hear, O Israel, hear, O church, the Lord our God is one. He is not divided. He will not side between one believer and another. But God will bless us for righteousness. I've seen it over and over, over and over and over and over and over and over. It's the hardest thing sometimes for our flesh to do. But there's a blessing that comes down from God that will rest upon your life. When you walk in righteousness, instead of having to be validated or vindicated for wrong that's been committed against you, if you will decide to walk in, there is a righteousness that comes down. Yes. From God, and there is something that God wants to do in that situation between you and that believer. There's something wonderful God wants to do. God wants to impart something in that revelation. In that conflict, God wants to make a pearl. In that, there's something God wants to do there. See, the enemy's trap is God's setup. There's actually something in that conflict between you and believer that God wants to modify, and he wants to change, and he wants to make it even better. There's something God wants to impart to you in that situation and impart to them. See, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it if we're expecting God to judge between them and us. God won't do it.
No.
See, it's a setup by God. Because God, see, There's some way down the road you're going to need that person. I know this might sound selfish, mm-hmm. but there's something down the, and if you're a believer in Christ, I need you.
Yes.
I need you. Mm-hmm. Who knows, one day I'm going to be in a dark place and God's going to lay it on your heart to intercede for me, and your prayer is going to be the very one that's going to break the bondage and the yoke. Who but knows that? But if I put a conflict between you and I, and let's just face it, when you're in a conflict between a believer, it's a little bit harder to pray for them. It really is. Your heart wants to.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why we have to dwell with one another in that place of love and be gentle with one another. And most of all, because God was gentle with us in Christ Jesus.
Oh, yes.
And if I do not show mercy, God is not going to show me mercy. And we all need mercy. We all need mercy. Let's go ahead and finish reading this in John in the Passion Translation. But Jesus did not entrust himself to them. Jesus didn't want people to tell him how right he was or how good he was. No, he didn't. And Jesus won't tell us that either. He will reward us for righteousness though. The Lord will say, God will say, well done. Yes, he will. You'll hear him say, well done. Because he knew how fickle human hearts can be. He didn't need anyone to tell him about human nature, for he fully understood what man was capable of doing. In a conflict, God does not need us to sit there and say how bad the other person is. God, It's like Lord said, You see what they did to me, God? You see what they did? And God just goes, I don't need you to, it's like Jesus saying, I don't need you to tell me what's in me, because you know, it's in you too. It's in you too. It's in you too. The fallen nature, the fallen man without God is reckless. But yet, you need me to fast forward?
We was in that on Tuesday. We said you need to stay out of our Bible study.
Go ahead.
In John, where it says, many believed in him, when they saw the miracles which he did, but yeah. Jesus did not commit himself because he knew them. They believed in him because of the miracles that he did, not because he came and preached to bring them to God. That was his focus. That's what he really came for. Mm-hmm. But now some Thanks of us heart. Follow the miracle, the bread, and the fish. Mm-hmm. And so they could, we believe because we see what he does. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now when he says, just like you coming this morning saying, okay, now I want you to be changed by what I speak. Well, I was with you.
you lost me there now.
I was with you until you start talking about, I was with you when the miracles was coming. But now you want something from me. Yeah. You want me to give up. You know that my person rights. Did me wrong. Mm-hmm.
You want me to give up my rights.
And you know, and you just don't understand the heart. You don't understand it. But that's where the change comes to be modified. That's where I need to be modified. Right. And that's why he knew they were fickle. They were fickle because they liked the miracles. Mm-hmm. Oh, but when you walk up in our house and into our home,
you tell me I have to change.
And I got to change.
I can't have my way.
And it's me?
Yeah.
Oh.
How could I be wrong, Lord?
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, Lord,
but,
how could I be wrong?
So he wouldn't commit to them because we're committed. Sometimes people are committed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can even be committed because of what we got, what we see, what he's done. Mm-hmm. But that's great, because God will always do things and bring us out and maybe heal our body and stuff like that. Okay, but now that I've done that, I want you to change. Mm-hmm. I want you to go to that person and say, you know, be righteous and not be right.
That's right.
Okay, that's a whole nother thing. That's why he didn't commit himself to them. Mm-hmm. We always have to remember, I think I'm studying in Mark, and I heard the preacher say, his main focus was to preach, to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, not the miracles.
No, that's right.
The miracles were just a sign. But they followed him because of the miracles.
That's right.
They believed because of the miracles.
That's right.
They didn't believe in what he was saying.
Because they didn't want to change.
They didn't want to change.
Exactly what you said, they didn't want to change.
And one other thing, that word that you said, S-Y...
Yeah.
Z-Y-G-O-S.
Okay.
That is a word that means yoke fella. It's not a person. In the King James, it's yoke fella.
G-4805. Okay, let me write that down right here. Y, for those of you that maybe didn't get that word, it's S-Y-Z.
Y-G-O-S.
And what number is it in the?
4805.
4805.
And it's yoke fella.
Yoke.
In the King James, which is what they were talking about.
I was looking for.
And bless God for people that are yoke fellows.
Mm-hmm.
Bless God for people that are burden bearers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that feel that burden between that conflict, between those, you know, and God uses them to pray, to intercede. And sometimes even in situations, they'll try to give the word to bring the reconciliation. It's not always received.
Mm.
And sometimes they're even attacked for doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But bless God for those that are, blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
For they shall be called what? The children of God, the Most High God. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's not always a good situation. Let me share this, and I'm going to get to some. I see some of you have some, and I'm going to get to it, okay? But I promise I'm going to get to it. Okay. Mercy is number 1653. And before I share about mercy, let me say this about, in part, the modification. That's what Christ did. He came to modify, to make greater, you know, to restore us the righteousness, to restore the righteousness. That we have with God to restore it, because man had lost that fellowship, to restore that righteousness. But also the point I'm trying to make here is in every conflict between two believers, God wants to make a great modification. Mm. He wants to make a great change in that relationship. Mm. you know, it's an attack of the enemy. It's an attack of the enemy. It's the work of the flesh or the enemy to divide us. It always is a work of Holy Spirit to bring us together. What did we just read the blessing in Romans? Mm-hmm. When we come together and stand side by side, something wonderful is imparted or released.
Yes.
God, see, God wants, the very person I'm in conflict with, God wants to bless, God's saying, oh, what did Peter say? Peter said, you were called to this very hour that you might inherit a blessing when you're persecuted. When there's a situation going on, you will call to this very situation that you might inherit a blessing. It's God setting you up for a blessing.
Yes.
God wants to bless you in this.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants to bless you and the other person equally.
Yes.
Okay. Mercy is number 1653. To have compassion by word or deed, by divine grace. Come on, here's a definition. To have compassion by word or deed or action by divine grace. Mercy works by grace. What did I tell you was the definition of grace last week? Grace is the divine influence on the heart that's reflected in life. Grace is His grace is sufficient for me. Because grace is God's divine influence upon my heart. That's my soul, my mind, my will, my want to, my emotions. God's, instead of, you know, going all off and getting all upset about a conflict or whatever comes into my life, God, it's not just, oh, His grace is sufficient. No, God, Your power, Your divine influence upon my mind right now, God. Right now, Lord, I need Your divine influence upon my mind. Right now, Lord, I need Your divine influence upon my will. I need Your divine influence upon my choice. I need Your divine influence upon my emotions right now. Your grace is enough to influence my heart so that I give a reflection in this situation of who I am in You. Of your life. See, grace is the divine influence of God upon my life and its reflection in life. Who am I supposed to be reflecting? The image of Christ. The image of God. Okay, that's what grace... Mercy works by grace. Mercy is compassion when I don't show you the same rough thing you showed me. When I don't have to pay you back for what you did to me. When I don't have to say it back to you because you said it back to me. Mercy is when I show, is compassion through word or deed by the divine influence of God on my heart that is reflected in my life. And it's reflected by how I respond to that conflict. So if you want to show me that you walk, you want to show me that God's grace is sufficient for you, you want to show me that your life has been changed by God's grace, then show me acts of mercy. Show me acts of mercy. Then I know that God has influenced your heart. Let me tell you something. When someone has done you wrong in a situation and you can show kindness instead, God has influenced your heart. God has influenced your heart. And don't you think for one skinny minute that there's not a reward in there for you. Don't you think for one minute it's just that you've acted righteously in God. And it is. It pleases you in your heart. It causes worship. There we go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It causes worship to explode out of your heart before God when God uses you. When God uses you to turn the other cheek, and you know you did it, and you know it was God in you that did it, then worship, it causes worship and expression of joy to come out of you. That's true worship. That's true worship. When I model Christ, that's true worship. That's the worship God's looking for. It's not the singing. It's not the hallelujah. It's not the blowing the shofar. It's not the shouting. It's not the jumping. The true worship that God is looking for is when we model Christ. Through our actions, Christ. We mock. Then we can say, wouldn't it be beautiful if we could say like Apostle Paul, follow me like I follow Christ? But isn't it very sad when Jesus said, listen to the teachers of the law because they sit in Moses' seat. God respects the seat that they sit in. God's given them the seat of authority. respect what they say because they're teaching from Moses' law, but don't do what they do.
She's been in there, didn't she? Yes.
But don't do what they do. Mm-hmm. Y'all, that is dangerous. That is sad. That is pathetic. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely pathetic. Mm-hmm. That someone can follow what I say, but they can't follow what I do. Mm-hmm. They can't imitate me. Mm-hmm. They cannot imitate me.
No. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's the same Holy Spirit. He's trying to show us.
Yes.
Because he loves us.
Yes.
Because he wants to bless us. Yes. God wants, I want you to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. Mm-hmm. I want to be blessed by God. Mercy works by grace. Demonstrate mercy. Jesus said, blessed is the one that demonstrates mercy, that is merciful to forgive. The Hebrew and the Aramaic concept of mercy is that it comes from our innermost being. It's not fake and phony. It comes from a heart that's been changed. That's how the Aramaic and the Hebraic concept of mercy interprets. It comes from your innermost being. You can't fake mercy. You cannot fake mercy. The root word for mercy is the root word for womb. Here's the scripture verses I promised you, and then and so some of you have some comments, and we're going to do that. But please stay on focus. Please don't ramble. I'm the worst. I'm the worst for rambling, for chasing rabbits. I know it. Let's just try to stay on focus if you have something to share. But here is some references for you. 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. The Passion Translation gave these references when it says the root word for mercy is the same root word for womb. That's why God won't declare you right when you're in an argument with another fellow believer. Because you were born of the same womb. You came out of the same womb, the womb of God. If God were to choose you over them, then God would be divided. God has no schisms. God is not schizophrenic.
Yes.
He doesn't have a mix, a split personality. God. 2 Samuel 22:26. Psalms 18:25. I'll repeat these. I haven't yet looked these up yet, but I'm going to. Proverbs 14:21. James 2:13. I'll repeat them. 2 Samuel 22, verse 26. Psalms 18:25, Proverbs 14:21, James 2:13. When we show in word or deed mercy, we impart or greatly modify for good the connection we have with one another and with the one to whom we are extending mercy. When we extend mercy, there's a connection made there, and God imparts something. This demonstrates that the Holy Spirit has His divine influence on our heart, and His influence is reflected in our life. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now, Mr. Loris, I know you had something to share, so.
I was saying that it's God who made us, and we know what is inside of us. Mm-hmm. But when we say
I'm showing Kathy.
Okay. When we say we forgive somebody, God knows if we forgive them, yes or no. Mm-hmm. Because every vein, every tissue is Him who made them. Because even when Jesus do everything to Him, they turn against Him. And when the food finish and everything finish, mm-hmm. they turn against yes, Jesus. So Jesus look on those. But what I was going over, you remember when we read in Proverbs about the neighbor? And I said, oh my God, my neighbor, I don't too care for my neighbor. But maybe he's there for a reason. It's not that we're fighting or arguing. It's just his ways annoy me. And he will see me and then he just wind up and dance. And it annoys me. But I don't hate him. I just don't like the things that he do.
But yet the Lord requires it. Well, I don't know if he's a believer or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yet the Lord does say we dwell by our neighbor for safety's sake. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why God has put our neighbor beside us, you know,
right,
for safety's sake. But at the same time, too, you don't mistreat him.
No.
You get that, you get that feeling from him, but yet you pray for him and bless him when you see him.
Yes, speak that's what
you from your heart, him. Speak a blessing over mm-hmm. him. That's the Lord bless him. You don't know what he's going through.
That's
you
true.
Know, so, you know, you don't know what he's going through, so speak a blessing over him.
That's true.
Amen.
So that's forgiveness right there.
Yes, it is. That's the love of Christ in action in you.
Yeah. Love him from afar. I love him from afar.
Long stick.
Amen. You have something to share.
Amen. Amen. All of us being brethren, because the topic today is not just anybody, because this conflict can go same thing along with somebody that's not in the body of Christ. But this
sure.
is today is speaking, staying poignant on, we're speaking about our brethren.
Yes.
And again, the Lord will not take sides when you are in a conflict with a brother or a sister because you are born out of the same womb. You are a part of the same body. For God to take sides would be dividing his body.
Mm-hmm.
And he will not divide his body.
No.
To divide his body, it would become a sick body.
Yes, it would.
If you go back to the Garden of Eden and we learn that that tree in the midst of the garden meant to sever. God will not sever his body. In our own physical bodies, times some people's sicknesses is because there's cells, there's different things in your body that separated, or something came in and separated and caused a growth, and so your body doesn't function right. So you have to get, well, you don't have to, but you have to get medicine, or you have to go on chemo. You got to do something to destroy that growth so that your own cells and your own physical body comes back together and functions properly again. So that's why God will not divide. He will not take sides when two of his children are arguing and fussing about.
No,
it doesn't matter what it is, because he would be dividing his body and his body is one. He will not divide his body.
No, he won't.
So get whatever you've got between somebody else and get it right.
You do it.
You
don't wait
do
for
it.
Them to do it. You do it.
You do it. So now
you get the blessing.
Yes. You do it, because you are supposed to be one with them. And so then let us remind ourselves of what God says happens when we are in unity, when we are in harmony with one another.
Wow.
And if we read it out of the Passion and read it very slowly and get every word, Psalms 133, unity. A song to bring you higher by David, by King David. That is the title of it. A song to bring you higher. A song to kick it up a notch.
That's right.
You're the same engine, but we're going to do this so that we can tweak it and get the junk out of that little engine jet and clean the muck out of there, and you're gonna perform better. That's why they modify an engine. Thank you, Lord. I kept thinking if Dean was here, he could remind me of why they do it. So that it will perform better.
Yes.
It can go around the track better. Mm. People will say under the track, when I used to be in racing, they would say, y'all put a new engine. No, we just modified it.
Wow.
No, we didn't put no new engine in there. We just modified it.
Wow.
We cleaned out the pistons and we did this and that and we modified
it.
So it went around the track better.
Woo. Glory to God.
That's why you get a
tune. Okay. Yes. So how truly wonderful and delightful. Just let that sink a second. This is David saying, and the Lord is taking delight and wonder. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity! Exclamation point. Here it's what it's like. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil. The Lord says, I smell a sweet when you give your sacrifices on the altar. It's as a sweet smelling odor to the Lord. What does he smell today from us? Is there some sweetness and then there's a stench? And he says, what's that stench? What's that stench? I've got some children that are fussing about something that they think is so big, but it's so silly. It's just the enemy coming in trying to bring that growth in between my cells. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. It always from the top down. This heavenly harmony can be compared to the dew dripping down from the skies upon Mount Hermon, refreshing the mountain slopes of Israel. It comes down from the top. When it flows down those mountains, what is so beautiful down below that just grows and so beautiful? It's the valley. It's where the trees are. It's where the flowers are. It's where the cattle are grazing. And when there's not unity, when there's a schism, the dew stops. And even the cattle, what does it tell us in Romans? That nature cries out for the children of God to get your act ready, to get your act together. That's right. Because we're down here starving.
My God, my God.
The dew's not coming down. And the cattle are saying, I've got no grass to eat. I've got no water to drink. And the trees are drying up and the flowers can't bloom and blossom because my children are dividing their self. And they're in arguments about things that don't matter. What I care about are the souls that watch you. And that are waiting to hear you and see you walk in my way so that their souls can be healed and stored and redeemed unto me. From this realm of sweet harmony, from what realm? The realm of the dew coming down upon the high priest and upon the mountaintops. God will release his eternal blessing, the promise of life forever.
It's worth it.
Comment on what she just said, Kathy. About modifying the car and everything, the race car and stuff. God just give me something. He said, you know, he says, like an oil change. You get rid of the old and put in the new.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Get rid of the old and put in the new.
That's where God commands a blessing. Unity is where God commands the blessing.
The blessing.
The blessing is commanded right over you. Right there in that.
What I'm hearing Holy Spirit saying to me about this passage is when David had the problem with his two sons and the daughter and the son.
Tamar.
Yeah. And he had that passion, that compassion in his heart. When I read that scripture about the son Absalom, anyhow, I always thought, well, wow, David, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. But David had the heart of God. And he did, and God just revealed that to me this day. He was doing what, because it was between them, but he wanted them to
rectify it.
Yes.
Wow.
But not in the way it went.
No, Absalom allowed it
to grow.
And it
anger.
Yeah, and it killed the brother. He murdered the brother.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine when saints go out and do something like that. That breaks God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What Jesus said is, when you're angry with your brother, mm-hmm. you've committed murder. Mm-hmm. I mean, the same judgment for a murder,
yes.
for mm-hmm. a murder, mm-hmm. for someone who murdered.
Yes.
You've heard it said, if you murder, you're in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart
mm-hmm.
against a believer,
so
don't
a,
forgive them.
This is a
them.
Good passage here.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Why? Put the mic off. Anybody else? Any comment or anything? Amen. It's a lot to digest. So, Lord, we have a choice.
Yes.
Lord, we choose. We choose to demonstrate mercy that works by grace because you have influenced our heart and to be a reflection of what you've done in our heart. We choose to walk together side by side with believers. We choose to do that, Lord, because you said when we do that, that something beautiful, that you impart something. We can expect something to be released from you, Father,
Amen.
Into our life. So, Father, that's what we choose to do.
Yes.
We choose, Lord God, to show mercy. We choose, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We make the choice that we don't have to be right. We don't have to defend ourselves.
No.
We make the choice that we're going to walk righteous before you. We're going to do what your word says, which says is to forgive. To forgive,
Amen.
Lord God.
Amen.
Mm. We make that decision, Father, and that our actions reflect that we forgive them because we don't hold a grudge. We don't take action to go against them, Father. We take the first step, Lord,
yes.
toward healing and repentance.
Yes.
We initiate the first step, Father, and there's a reward in that. You said, Father, Carmen just read that. There's a reward, Father. This is where you command the blessing.
Yes.
It's where you command the blessing
Thank
on
you,
us.
Lord.
It's an opportunity
Thank
for
you,
us, God, to receive
Thank
a
you,
divine
God.
Impartation
yes.
for something divine from you, God, to be released in our life. And that's what we choose to do, Lord God. We choose to do it that way, Father, to walk in righteousness, Father. So this week, help us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
This week, help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of today, but to be a doer, to model Jesus.
Amen.
And to model what we've been taught. Because Jesus, you modeled everything you taught.
Yes.
So help us to model and to practice this week what we've been taught. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You read Nicodemus while ago.